The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along for the Friday edition of The Ride Home. What a week it's been. I think probably the highlight, at least from this perspective, is watching Kath get her hair cut.
That was a thrill, wasn't it?
Oh,
that tells you how bad your social circle is right now. The excitement for and the show is that I got my hair cut.
Right. And
but it was tragic, so I'm very excited.
I'm looking. Here's the thing. We spend 10 hours a day live on the air.
Yes.
And, you know, recently, of course, we've been, these past many months, been broadcasting on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so now, as I'm watching, I'm looking at, you know, the door behind you. And I've taken, like, some sort of obsessive, acute interest in your door.
In the door.
I don't know why. I like the color of it.
Thank you. It is nice.
I like the glass doorknob behind it.
Isn't that nice, that crystal doorknob? Yes. I love the fact that you noticed that, John.
Mm-hmm. I think about it often.
I do. Yeah.
That's how small my world is right now.
Yeah, my entire second floor has crystal doorknobs.
Oh, that's very nice.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Very happy about that.
Yes,
The average person, John, wouldn't have noticed. And
what?
So that's why I've chosen you as my talk show host.
Fabulous. I appreciate the selection. Thank you so much.
Not really how it happened, but I'm glad.
How are things in the household there today? Are they quiet?
They're pretty quiet. It's a little warm. You know, our humidity's up today, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it's too early in the program for me to tell you.
Tell me what?
That your weekend has begun.
Oh, fabulous. It's six minutes past the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon. Truly, and I mean this with all my heart, all is right and well, at least in this corner of the world. Thank goodness. Happy Friday.
Now, let me say something odd. It looks like you and I are wearing like twin outfits. We've never done that before.
I'm wearing my default outfit, which is a V-neck t-shirt.
Okay. Well, I'm wearing a gray t-shirt, but it's exactly the same color as yours.
Uh-huh. Okay. There it is.
It's like Friday's gray day. Everybody wear gray.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I look again like I'm being held hostage somewhere in Tehran and I'm signaling by winking my eye.
It is. Why is it so dark in your spare room?
It's very dark. I don't know. Look, I wonder if this is true. Now that you're working from home, my home office, all of a sudden, my printer has blown up.
Yep.
I need a new light for my Zoom thing.
I started having some electrical problems.
I
know. There's a lot of power that we're trying to shove into these bedrooms. You know what I mean? I got extension cords everywhere. I got you know, all sorts of work equipment. I got this broadcast unit here. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Got a generator outside the door here. With the vacuum
tube. Generator outside
the heck
door.
This is going on here? I don't know.
Exactly.
Anyway,
all right. No, you go, please.
Okay.
I got so excited.
See, I was trying to grab that bridge there while I could.
Yeah,
saying it's quiet because at least here in our neck of the woods, and I don't know about your neck of the woods, Kath, or Mike over yours, it feels as like we're under the American Revolution, where almost all day, every day, what I hear is either near or far the sound of pop, pop, fizzle, fizzle, and fireworks are everywhere.
They're on my last nerve.
It's been going on for weeks.
Why? Just last night, I can't believe you brought this up today, John. That's so weird. Just last night, I was making dinner with my daughter, and she said, is that fireworks, or is there something else going on every night? Mm-hmm. I said, no, I think it's random people who are, why are we doing this?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. So in the past few years, of course, fireworks have become legal here in the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
Right. Now, fireworks are not cheap. That's a very expensive proposition you get to walk into phantom fireworks or whatnot.
Right.
And I think people are just so bored and excited because they're home so much. So that someone's gone out and bought hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of fireworks and they're just blowing them off at all hours of the day and night. At first, I found myself sort of ducking, thinking, oh, no, the neighborhood is under siege. But now
that's what
I just
my daughter was
go,
concerned about. Maybe it's gunfire.
That's what I thought. And my kids are going, all of a sudden, they become like fireworks gunfire experts. Oh, no, Dad, that's not gunfire. That's an M80. Or that's just a small pack of fire.
Doesn't
or whatever.
An M80 sound like it is a weapon?
No, it sounds like a firework.
No, it doesn't. It sounds to me like AR-15 M80. It sounds like two different. Yeah.
No, so, well, you didn't grow up with fireworks, Gaff. No.
I didn't grow up with fireworks.
Yeah, well, if you did, you would know. I mean, we used to call them cherry bombs.
That sounds a lot better. That sounds a lot more benign than an M80.
I mean, you know, around this time of year when you were a kid, everybody, the rumor mill would crank up and you'd go, hey, you know who has cherry bombs? I mean, he'll blow those cans up. We used to go, you know, put firecrackers in people's trash cans and things like that.
Oh, it's a nice thing to do.
Just
so
that's how things were in Swissvale. I don't
know. People like you in my neighborhood now.
I mean, out in the North Hills, what are you leaving? Little lace doilies on someone's porch. I don't know.
Okay, so is it just a Pittsburgh thing that fireworks are being set off?
It is not, because as I was thinking about this today, I was Googling in fireworks. Apparently, in the city that never sleeps, that would be New York, New York, mm-hmm. so nice they named it twice, people are complaining to the local authorities, and they're resorting to one, closing their windows, which is shocking in New York City, because look at the cacophony of traffic. So because traffic is less in New York City because of the pandemic, fireworks have taken over as the noise pollution du jour. Mm-hmm. And local authorities have been deluged with calls saying, tell those people to stop blowing things up. So if it's happening in New York and in Pittsburgh,
listen,
it's probably happening
I'd
everywhere.
Much rather it happen in Pittsburgh. If I was living in Manhattan and that was happening, I mean, that would be horrible.
Yeah, you have no place to go to. Right?
Oh, you have no place to go. It'd be really loud.
Right.
Really, really loud. You know what my husband and I were just talking about today, John? Let me ask you, based on all the years that you lived in New York City, how much cooler it is in the summer when you're outside of the city versus when you're inside the city? I mean, isn't it shocking how hot? Like, I lived in Oakland for, 7 years? It is so hot in the summer in Oakland.
Right, because you get around tall buildings and they act as that insulator.
Yes,
the concrete, you're sort of like in a dome, right?
I'm telling you, I live in the North Hills now, and I live in a neighborhood where we're relatively close together, you know, home to home. It's still like so much cooler.
Heck yeah.
So much cooler.
Yeah, no. When I lived in Manhattan, you would occasionally take a subway to the bus, and then the bus would take you to the beach. Believe me, the happiest times of your life at the beach. You're happy to get out of that concrete jungle.
Right. I bet. All right. Well, it still is the weekend. And so we're excited about Friday and, of course, the 2 days that follow. And we're interested in talking to you. If you'd like to log on to our Facebook page, we are live streaming right now at 101.5 Word FM or The Ride Home with John and Kathy. You can see our silly matching outfits that we're wearing today, which is really ridiculous. We have a great show coming up in our 5 o'clock hour. It is the Week in Review, which is a popular segment of ours, 5:35 this afternoon. And we're excited to be talking about Juneteenth today with Pastor Brian James Edmonds, who is the senior pastor at Macedonia Church of Pittsburgh. That's in our 5 o'clock hour. And coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll talk next about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The question is, are you standing up? Jessica Hooten Wilson, next on the Friday edition of The Ride Home.
ORD. Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music is here on the weekend.
With the best new music.
New music.
New music from Courtney Ramirez, Who We Are.
That's truly who we are.
Your Love Feels Like Home by Johnny Diaz.
Your love feels like home.
And Toby Mac, See the Light.
We're gonna see the light.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Brought to you by Trinity Jewelers and Dennis Spira and Associates.
101.5 WORD. On the weekend.
Worried about deductibles and copays, dental or vision? How about elective procedures? Marley Financial, they've got you covered. This is Kathy Emmons. Marley Financial is now offering a new health savings account that can be used for anything health related. Anything. copays and deductibles, any prescription, even elective procedures. Marley's new turbocharged health savings account can set you free of high premiums and out-of-pocket expenses. There's even a company matching component that can provide 2 or even 3-to-1 benefits. And because it's a contribution, not a premium, your value stays with you for the rest of your life. And if you recently lost your job and your health benefits, Marley has programs to get you the coverage you need when you need it most. Call Marley Financial today, 724-884-1496, and ask about their new turbocharged health savings account. That's 724-884-1496, Marley Financial, the most innovative agency in the marketplace at marleyfg.com.
We call them small businesses, but maybe we need a better name, because it's these businesses that are powering America right now. A lot of them had to shut their doors, but many of them are still open on eBay, getting people the things they need, and in return, getting the business they need to keep going. Our small businesses are getting it done, keeping you and themselves thriving. And that's no small thing. eBay, where America's small businesses live.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
I find that patients just want to be heard.
Stock Family Dentistry, where exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care.
That takes time to sit down and listen to what the patient has to say. Listen to their past experiences, because that's all important in how I then present treatment to them, formulate a treatment plan for them, and how we move forward with their treatment at our office.
My mommy is a really good dentist, and she'll take good care of you.
Harry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Years ago, probably 2 decades ago, I used to go here in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of the city of Pittsburgh, and I used to get my newspapers from this local guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just had a little kind of mom and pop newspaper stand. And I really didn't know the guy. You know, I'd go in, hey, how you doing? Good. You know, it was that kind of exchange. But one day I was walking by, and it was later on in the afternoon. I'd already had my papers, and the guy was outside his store. And some kid, maybe 17, 18 years old, was screaming at the top of his lungs at this guy. And the guy was like, I'm telling you, man, get out of here. I'm going to call the cops. Get out of here. And that kid was screaming every anti-Semitic slur at this guy possible. And instead of me stopping and doing anything, I looked and I thought, that guy's got that. It's okay. And I kept on going forward. Now, I think about that often. When I'm in Squirrel Hill, I think, why didn't I do something? Why didn't I stop and say to that kid, hey, shut up, or something? But I chose not to. And our first guest, Jessica Houghton-Wilson, has written a piece about this, about Bonhoeffer and how we are right now in the world and our response to what goes on. And maybe we would think, you know, well, we're living during World War II and where there's persecution of Jews worldwide, we would have done something. Jessica Houghton-Wilson has a very interesting perspective on this. Jessica is from John Brown University, where she's Associate Professor of Humanities, and she's written a piece called Lessons from Bonhoeffer, Are You Standing Up? Jessica, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, Jessica, you know, I echo what John said. I was in Germany. I spent some time there last summer, and as I was kind of, you know, walking around little tiny towns and seeing the absolutely spectacular country, I thought to myself, okay, so how did these people here let this beautiful, spectacular country be taken over by a madman? And then I thought to myself, okay, so if it was my country, would I have allowed that? Because it's so easy to say in hindsight, I wouldn't have. I would have stood up. I would have done something. But you know, living through history yourself, that things happen so gradually and our compromises happen without us oftentimes even noticing.
Yeah, I think that we don't look at history enough, but also we don't know what we're practicing until we're called upon for a greater action. And we realize, okay, have our habits prepared us for a greater action? Or have they actually made us more complicit and able to be quiet easier?
Right. Yeah. So this moment is a reflection. Of course, we can look back into history and see how would we respond now as opposed to then. What do you think? What is the lesson here, Jessica? What do you think about yourself and the story that we told, Kath and I told?
Well, what I have a lot of those stories in my past, and some of them are a lot smaller accounts of, you know, being in school as a kid. Did you stand up when someone was being bullied, or were you a participant in the bullying?
Yeah.
Did you gossip when you wished you hadn't? I mean, a lot of the small things that we wish we wouldn't have said or we wish we wouldn't have done, and all of them start adding up to bring us to the places that we are, right? Where we're, are we in the middle of action? Are we, and we can't all act on behalf of every single cause, but are we acting on behalf of causes? In what ways are we expressing our virtues in actions and not just saying, you know, I'm a really courageous person. I would be if called upon. Well, does your day-to-day life look courageous? Are there things that you're doing right now that you're thankful that you're doing and that you feel like you've been called to this place and you're ready to act?
Yeah. Jessica, I think the thing that's so challenging about that, of course, like you're saying, I have things in my background, especially when I was in high school. I think what a horrible person I was.
Yeah.
You know, I was incredibly, shockingly self-centered. And I look back at that and think, if people who knew me in high school think of me as I was then, I mean, God help us. They probably think, how'd this lady end up with a radio show? I mean, she doesn't know anything and she's awful. So we all have things that we want to get away from. At the same time, we realize, I think, as our lives progress, that there are moments when we have seen things clearly. And there was like a moment of clarity when we said, no, I can't do that. And I wonder, about that moment for Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Can you talk about him for people who aren't familiar with who he is? Talk about his place in history and whether that was a moment of clarity for him.
Sure. What Lauren Verbicki points out is that Bonhoeffer was prepared and ready to act when he did because of a lot of small things. He had daily devotional practices that kept him always moving towards clear sight. He was reading Psalms constantly, and he was reading them in community. I love the fact that she talks about how he would read Psalms, and if he was not sad, but the Psalm was sad, then he would reflect on those who might be sad or lamenting within the body, right? So he was always trying to be in touch with not just his own feelings, but the community around him. She talks about how his family influenced who he was and how being around the right people, being in a body of, they had this confessing church, which was a small group of people that survived after Hitler took over the national church. And they were those who still confessed and still practiced. And so really community was vital. His daily devotional practices were vital. His ability to look outside of his own home. He visited Union Seminary in New York and was trying to see how the Union Seminary was reacting to Harlem at the time and how those two worlds were interacting. And then he took that experience back to Germany. So he was always keeping his eyes open. He was always ready to reflect on what things meant for him on a daily basis. He saw himself as in process. He never wanted to be lauded as a hero. He would have hated anybody putting him on that pedestal, but he was actually in process with these friendships and this community and this devotional life that was continuous until he died.
Well, that's fascinating, Jessica. So you reference Keys to Bonhoeffer's House, Exploring the World and Wisdom of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This is a book review that you've done and essentially the reason why we're talking to you today, right?
Right. Yeah. So I don't propose that I have any great ideas, but I love talking to books. I love getting to write book reviews about people who put me in touch with Bonhoeffer, and I get to see through his eyes and see his life. And I know I've been on here before talking about motherhood and getting to hear Natalie Carne's vision of motherhood. I love reading books and getting to see through other people's perspective and not have to just rely on my own limited perspective of the world.
Well, I'm glad you did because, I didn't know that the depth of the story of Bonhoeffer in Manhattan. And to think about Bonhoeffer, in the ivory towers of the Union Seminary and then going to worship and congregate and be part of a community in Harlem. I mean, as far as the East is from the West, even though they're 30 blocks away.
Right. And then he took that experience back to Germany and actually tried to have life together, which of the German church was not used to, right? These were mostly former Lutherans in the national church there. And instead you're asking us to sing together. You're asking us to pray together. You're asking us to, do life together in this way that you observed in Harlem. What are you doing? Is this biblical?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Jessica Hooten-Wilson with us, Associate Professor of Humanities at John Brown University. We're talking about a piece she wrote for the Gospel Coalition on lessons from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Are you standing up to injustice? Another thing I did not know, and maybe I read about this in the past and it just like flipped through my mind, but I never knew that MLK Jr. preached in a church in East Berlin before the wall fell, 1964. Yeah.
Oh, and she, Lauren Fabricchi does such a great job depicting that, because they, MLK Day, they celebrated while they were over there, and she was, you know, she's the wife of a foreign service officer in Berlin, and so they were still celebrating American holidays while being in Germany. And so they went to the churches. They went in West Berlin and East Berlin and went and saw his church where Martin Luther King preached. And they said it was packed out. People were just flooded in there to hear him talk. It was, and that's amazing to get to kind of put yourself in that mindset of, right, in the 1960s, and he was over there.
Wow. So then what do you take? After reading the book and living through the last month or so, or the last several months, I mean, what's the lesson for you that you can impart to us, Jessica, as we, you know, slowly inch our way forward in a new era here in America?
I think we have to celebrate these figures in our lives, not to romanticize them into heroes, but to recognize they can be our friends even from the past. I think if we surround ourselves with the good company of the past, right? If we read the lives of Bonhoeffer, the way that he knew the life of his, you know, courageous grandmother who stood up against the Nazis, or the lives that he saw at the Abyssinian Church in Harlem, I think that we have to kind of surround ourselves with these friends and these models that are going to call us to daily be better than we currently are. That's what I've taken from it.
Yeah, and I also am, I don't know, Jessica, I suspect based on your article that you're the same way, where you read stories about people who were brave and it makes you brave.
Yes.
Because you think, I'm not trying to be Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but I am trying to be the best version of me.
Right.
And that was, and I see what he did, and I saw, and I might, you might not even agree with what Bonhoeffer did. That's up for, that's an interesting question, right? Mm-hmm. Did he choose the right thing? But he was brave. And so it makes you think, okay, so he had his time and I have my time. And in my time, what does that look like?
Right. And having these courageous stories, I mean, this is what, you know, the Catholic tradition would have done with saints. So you have the saints, but it's what the Protestant tradition does with biblical figures that we're always trying to call on, you know, let's be like Jesus. Let's be like Peter. Let's be like Paul. Well, in the same way, we can look back in our tradition and say, like, let's be like Bonhoeffer. Let's be like Martin Luther King Jr. Let's surround ourselves, like the Gospels say, with good company that creates better character, right? Versus bad company that corrupts it.
That's good. Yeah. Jessica, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Jessica Hooten-Wilson, you can find her easily online. She's got a terrific website where she posts essays and different pieces that she writes. Jessica Hooten-Wilson. Take a break and come back. It is our weekly feature called This or That, where Kath and I have created a list of 10 things, this or that. We just choose without any comment. It doesn't really mean much, but it's kind of fun. So stick around for that.
This important message is for anyone experiencing financial hardship and owes back taxes to the IRS or has unfiled tax returns. Recent events have caused massive job layoffs and financially burdened millions. While tough times will go away, the IRS won't. At Community Tax, we're on top of evolving IRS collection policies that could make it easier to resolve tax problems and dramatically lower monthly payments. If you're facing a serious loss of income, you may qualify for IRS hardship programs that may lower your monthly payments or provide dramatic tax savings. For taxpayers who owe less than $250,000 and are in a payment arrangement with the IRS, new guidelines could lower your payments substantially.
Community Tax has decades of experience helping taxpayers with IRS collections. So call our helpline today for your free consultation and learn what programs you qualify for. Call 800-500-5588. That's 800-500-5588. 800-500-5588.
Hello, friends. It's me, Marcia, from the Spring House. We are hoping you are all healthy and safe. Our family wanted to let you know that because our cows are requiring twice a day milking, the Spring House is still open for you to stop by for your farm fresh from our herd milk and hot out of the oven breads and buns and meats and cheeses and cookies. And anything that'll make life happy and comfy and easier during these uncertain times. Our buffet is still full of family recipe lunches and suppers every day to take home to eat at your own family table, and our catering team even created a special take and bake meal, which you can check out online. We even ordered in extra toilet paper in case any of you are in a pinch. We've been so blessed this last week by customers thanking us for staying open, and best of all, telling us that they're praying for us. We just wanted to let you know that we are praying for all of you, too. Here's a big hug from all of us at the Spring House to you. We love you.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, they do too. So whether you stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store, a Napa Auto Care Center, or visit Napa online, you can count on Napa know-how.
We are everywhere. On your radio at 101.5 WORD-FM Pittsburgh, at wordfm.com, the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
An evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy. Tonight's low 62. Humid tomorrow with partial sun. Watch for a shower or thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon. High 82. Saturday night, partial clouds, low 64. Sunday, partly sunny and humid with a shower or thunderstorm. High 86. And Monday, high 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
It's time now for This or That. It's a weekly compilation of random things of 10 subjects that Kath and I have assembled. We present them to each other, and we say this or that. It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. It generally is fun, a little wacky, and kind of odd. Kath?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it, first. John. Well, should I begin?
Sure. I'll be happy to have the questions or the this or that sent to me. Sure.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
I'm not sure you are. John, Governor Tom Wolf or Virginia Wolf?
I'm going with the literary figure, Virginia Wolf.
Oh, all right. Nice. Interesting. Iced tea, John, or iced coffee?
Oh, iced tea, times 10. I'm drinking some right now, as a matter of fact. I salute you.
That was very easy. Okay. Baseball on July 4th or hockey on July 4th?
Well, considering that there will be no baseball on July 4th, I'm sticking with hockey on July 4th.
Mikey's mad.
I am mad.
All right. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, John, or Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Okay. Who doesn't like a good laugh?
I know. It's so good. Into the Wild or The Joker's Wild?
Well, considering one is about a poor guy down and out dying on a bus or a goofy game show, I'm going for the goof.
Okay.
Jimmy Joker's Wild.
Thank you. Wink Martindale.
Very nice.
John, flip a house or flip a pancake?
I'm not a big pancake fan, and I like those flipping houses shows. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the flip a house.
Okay. Now, the question is, I think I was talking about you doing it, not watching someone else do it.
Well, then I'm going to get my wrist in action and flip a pancake.
Okay. All right. That's okay. I'll take your first answer.
Thank you.
John Hall, I ask you, sitting in traffic or sitting on the dock of the bay?
Oh, sitting on the dock of the bay. Time stand. Please.
That was certainly easy.
Very nice.
Okay. 3 weeks without a car or 3 months on crutches?
Oh, please. 3 weeks without a car any day. That's a walk in the woods by comparison.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Crutches. Right. Forget that.
All right. Terrific. Your weekend has begun, John, or we've only just begun?
Oh, your weekend has begun, because what lies before? When you utter those words, I mean, it's like the Wizard of Oz is before me. The Golden Road is. I just love it so much. I'm headed into the Emerald City here in a few minutes.
And you're saying you're not a Barbra Streisand fan?
No, not at all.
And the last question I have for you today, John, in this or that. fireworks set off every night or loud music you don't like every night?
Fireworks set off every night, I would gladly take. All over right. Loud music that I don't like. Yeah.
Oh. All right. Stop your complaining then.
Very nice. This or that. Okay.
That's
I will stop my complaining. Excellent, excellent choices, Kath. Okay. Now here is your version.
All right.
Of this or that, the June 19th, 2020 version of
I'm
this
ready.
Or that. All right. The first day of spring, the first day of summer.
Oh, first day of spring.
Mm-hmm. Peanut butter on a rice cake, a banana split.
Oh, gosh. Well, then you can't compare the...
This or that?
I mean, a banana split.
Okay. Locked out of your hotel room on New Year's Eve in your robe, or falling down the basement steps?
Both such enjoyable experiences that I've actually had in my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, as terrible as it was, I think I'm going to pick locked out of my hotel room in my robe.
Okay, all right. So you put things in context, it loses the pain, doesn't it? All right. Farmer's market, flea market.
Oh. Hmm. Okay, flea market.
Mm-hmm.
But that was hard.
Very nice. Paris, Rome.
Oh. Paris.
Hmm. Twitter, Facebook.
Oh, that talk about a race to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter.
Mm-hmm. The Gospel of John, the Gospel of Matthew.
John.
Okay.
For sure.
Very nice. Brad Marshall, Brad Pitt.
Oh, Brad Marshall, for sure. Yay, Brad.
Oh, very nice. Dill Pickle, Bob Dylan.
Oh, Dill Pickle every day of the year.
Very nice. 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups.
Oh, 50 push-ups.
Very nice. That completes this round of this or that. Doesn't mean anything. It's kind of a little peek into our heads. That's all it is. Take a break. Come back. There is a new show that is coming to Word FM WPIT Airways. We'll talk with the host of that show in just a few minutes. Stick around, please. Be back in just a bit.
WORD. Had your family ever faced hunger at a level where their life was at risk or had little or no access to clean drinking water? For children in the countries of Malawi, Zambia, and Uganda, it's a battle they face every single day. Word FM and Cross International is asking for your help to provide life-saving resources for children in these African countries to solve this crisis and assist with COVID-19 efforts. A $62 one-time gift provides food, water, COVID-19 assistance, and a Bible. You can get involved right now by calling 866-806-2977 or look for the Cross International banner at wordfm.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Now streaming on SalemNow.com is the brand new film, Selfie Dad. Selfie Dad is a very funny yet powerful movie about a Christian dad in a midlife crisis who becomes an overnight social media phenomenon, only to turn away from God and his family. But when he's confronted with a newfound friendship and the life-changing truths of the Bible, he learns the only way to have true happiness.
Some of these things I just can't fix without some sort of direction. And I'm finding it right here in the Bible.
God
can do incredible things.
Selfie Dad stars Christian comedians Michael Jr. and Shonda Pierce, as well as Grammy singer, YouTube star Jamie Grace, and War Room's Karen Abercrombie. It will inspire you to find the life-changing value of the Bible.
Watch Selfie Dad at SalemNow.com and use promo code Pittsburgh to save 20%. That's SalemNow.com, promo code Pittsburgh.
This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy & Hagerman. Writing an estate plan is one thing. Having the experience to administer the estate is something else. At Abernathy & Hagerman, estate administration isn't a side job. It's what we do. You have the same goals we all do, to protect your assets, to minimize taxes, and ensure your inheritance gets to the ones that you love. How you get there, that's specific to you. So let's talk. Hagerman Law, legal help that lasts a lifetime. Visit a-h.law.
Dr. Richard Hamlet is with us. Dr. Hamlet is the host of a nationally syndicated radio show called Ministry in the Marketplace, heard now, brand new, on 96.5 FM and 730 AM WPIT. Dr. Hamlet, welcome to the show. How are you today, sir?
John, it's good to be with you. It's a blessed day indeed.
Yeah, indeed. It is. Dr. Hamlet, talk about what it's like to preach the gospel in times like these.
Well, this is an interesting time, Kathy. During this climate here in the United States, we have faced an unprecedented assault. Our president calls it the invisible enemy, but whatever we label it, it is a time where everyone, whether they're members of a faith community or they're outside of a religious community in their affinities, everyone's looking for answers. Everyone is really thinking mortality in a different way because this virus is invisible and no one knows who's going to get it, regardless what measures we take. So here's where the gospel and proclamation is so strategic, because we are taking the gospel out into the marketplace, right, mostly now in a digital way, like we're talking now with the radio or television or social media, and we're preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel to those who are really looking for answers and need hope. So this is a great opportunity for Christ Church to rise up and take the gospel wherever they are and share the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's excellent, Richard. You know, in the early days of the pandemic, and I don't know if you had this experience, but I imagine a lot of people did. I did. I remember lying in bed, you know, somewhere in mid to late March and thinking, do I have COVID-19? Am I going to die? And what will that be like? I mean, and for a good chunk of time, a couple of weeks, I was preparing to die and thinking about my own mortality, my own life, my children, my wife, all that, you know, the summation of who I am as a living, breathing man. But in the midst of that, I had to be honest, as much as I would miss this earth and all those who know me and love me and me vice versa, I was looking forward to heaven.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. Solomon was the second wisest man to ever live on the earth. Jesus, as the God-man, was the wisest. But Solomon said that God has placed really eternity in Ecclesiastes. He said this in our hearts. And, you know, there's a vacuum there that we all have that, you know, that because of the fall of man and sin, which, by the way, the disease came from the fall. It's the root of the fall, all disease and suffering. God is a gracious, good God. He has graciously intervened now in his mercies in our time to even make this, to bring this in as it is now. It could be a lot worse, is the way I believe it. But, you know, eternity is something that doesn't go from chapter to chapter or, you know, life cycles. It's forever. It's the real deal. And so it's great for us to be able to see mortality in this way. And we're using it as an evangelistic way to try to help people see that there are people asking questions and that Jesus Christ is the answer.
Dr. Richard Hamlet's with us, host of the nationally syndicated radio show Ministry in the Marketplace, heard here locally on 96.5 FM and 7:30 AM, WPIT, 9 AM on Sunday morning, which is the perfect time to listen before you go to your own church. Richard, speaking of going to your own church, talk about what the quarantine has been like for you. Are you the kind of person that's really kind of an introvert and happy to be home and kind of puttering around, or are you someone who's dying to get out?
Well, you know, I like getting out, but you know, we need to be cautious. Our base here, I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, here in the South, and that's where headquarters is. And so down here, the virus has not been as severe, but it is still picking up and under, you know, the quarantine and opening up of the business. What we're doing is, we're doing a major Facebook live proclamation of the gospel every Sunday. We're live and we go on and, Sunday afternoons for, an hour, we're preaching the gospel. I was out in churches a lot as an itinerant, been to almost 100 countries around the world, preaching the gospel. So our international schedule and itinerant schedule just stopped. And so, that's the beauty of technology and the radio and visuals and TV, and it's just a time where we can use this as an opportunity to not just sit back and be on the defensive, but we can be on the offensive with the conquering gospel and proclaim that God is on the throne. This didn't catch him by surprise. This is part of his plan, his redemptive plan for man through the gospel, and I believe many are going to come into the kingdom if we'll be faithful in sharing that gospel wherever we are.
That. Yes, Richard. Well, Dr. Hamlet, you've made reference to talking to, you've traveled to 100 nations around the world. Now, Kath and I have traveled. We certainly have not done 100 nations, and we have friends who live overseas. And as bad as things are right now here in the United States, I mean, when we look around, we think it's still the greatest country in the history of the world.
Yes.
But I wonder, as you talk to your friends from far afield, what their thoughts about where they are in their particular places in the world. I mean, are people hopeful? Is there chaos? Is there fear? Or are they believing in Christ and his imminent return?
Well, it's interesting. The church grew the most significantly, and from a percentage standpoint, in the first 300 years, when there was so much persecution, and the more persecution came, then, those original followers of Christ, it multiplied, and the more the persecution came, the more it grew. Now we have a different type of enemy. It's not so much here, especially in the United States, we're not having direct persecution like a lot of our brothers have had and are still having around the world from governments or other religions, but we're having this time where there's affliction that's come into the church and into the international community, and all of our partners are telling us that they are seeing opportunities because of just humanity's plight, and that they are seeing this suffering, really the sufferings of Christ that they're experiencing as Christ Church, as a way for them to share with others who are also suffering, but giving them the good news. So we're finding from all of our partners that around the world, I say all of them, most of them that we're communicating with, that they're seeing this plight and this this international infestation of this virus as being a time where God is adding to his church. He is growing the body of Christ as his people are sharing the hope that God has given to us in the gospel.
I'm into that. That's good.
Yeah, that's Dr. Richard Hamlet, host of the nationally syndicated radio show Ministry in the Marketplace. It's now heard here locally, 96.5 FM and 7:30 AM WPIT at 9 AM on Sunday morning. Dr. Hamlet, thanks for being with us today.
Well, God bless y'all. And, I love Pittsburgh. I was a Steelers fan growing up. So
I
love the city.
We want to hear that. Thank you so much.
You sure do. God bless you, sir. We'll take a quick break, come back. We've got much more ahead. It's the Friday edition of The Ride Home here in the city of Pittsburgh. Be back in a few.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
The world's best dads deserve the best Father's Day gifts, and Ace is the best place to find them. We have a great collection of brands dads trust, like outdoor power equipment from Steel and Ego, power tools from Milwaukee, grills from Big Green Egg, Traeger and Weber, and coolers from Yeti. Find them at your neighborhood Ace or order online for curbside pickup or delivery, and make this Father's Day one dad will always remember with gifts he'll love from Ace. At participating stores, see store for details.
For a lot of people, from time to time, you ask yourself this question. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Certainly your family around you, a smaller circle of church friends or associates, all that. But it's core to how we look at the world, how we engage in the world. Who do you trust? And especially when your child is about to go to college, who are you trusting to teach your child what it is to live in this world? When I've asked myself that question, who do you trust? I go back to Grove City College. My child's been at Grove City College. We love the environment, the education, the faculty, the staff. They know Christ. I trust them because I know that he knows them as well. Grove City College. Kath, what about you? Who do you trust?
Well, yeah, I've had an excellent experience with the professors at Grove City. My daughter goes there, but I have to go to the administration too, John. I mean, just yesterday we had a screw up on our bill, and it was one of those things where you can imagine that you would have to be on the phone for 3 hours or on 10 different websites. But my husband called Grove City, talked to one woman, and in 30 minutes it was worked out. I mean, just person to person, that's the connection I think we're all looking for.
Fabulous. Do yourself a favor. Look online. Who do you trust? GCC.edu. That's Grove City College.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
Over 1,200 acts of violence occurred in churches last year. It's likely that churches will continue to be targets for crisis events. Is your church prepared to respond? Your church can know how to prepare and can also know how to biblically respond to whatever crisis your church encounters. The world is watching us. Learn how to redeem crisis events with a powerful Christian response through online training at ChristianEmergencyNetwork.org. ChristianEmergencyNetwork.org.
I get this warm feeling every single time we have special needs patients in our office. Their needs are not that different from anybody else. Spending the time with that patient is very rewarding to me.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
In 1992, there was a young man who, his name was Chris McCandless. And Chris McCandless had ventured, like a lot of wanderers do, to the wilds of Alaska. Okay. And there, Chris McCandless was isolated, like I said, took up refuge in the wilds and fending for himself. Now, as his time was in Alaska coming to a close, he was trapped by the swollen icy waters of the Teklakina River in Alaska. So as he was out foraging for food and taking care of his life, this river started to rise up and he found this abandoned school bus. And so he lived in this abandoned school bus. But then, over time, his resources ran out, no water, no food. He died in this school bus where he lived for 114 days.
Wow.
Now, we know of this because Chris McCandless kept a detailed diary, a journal of those 114 days. Now, 4 years after Chris McCandless passed away, the book Into the Wild was released. And then a feature film, also called Into the Wild, based upon the diary, was released. Since the book and the movie have been released, countless people have traveled into the wilds of Alaska, hoping to retrace the steps of Chris McCandless. And this bus that he died in has stayed in the wilderness. Two people have died in this trek. Countless others have been stranded and have been picked up by the Alaska National Police.
So this is just an attraction. Like, this is, you know, people want to go there. They want to try to survive when
it's a pilgrimage.
It's a pilgrimage.
Yes. They want to go and pay their respects and in many ways sort of show their chops of what it is to live in the wild.
Okay.
But Alaskan authorities, after numerous times of rescuing people who have been lost in the wilderness trying to find this bus, well, yesterday, finally, Alaskan authorities have had enough, and they took in one of those giant Chinook helicopters. You've seen those. They've got blades on either side. They dropped down chains, and a crew put these chains around the bus, and the helicopter took the bus away to a secure, undisclosed location somewhere in Alaska. Who knows if it will ever resurface again? My guess is at some point it will, probably in a museum or someplace that.
They took it to Area 51.
I guess. Okay, I mean, someplace in the middle of nowhere.
So you're saying that they removed the bus just because people are so dangerous to themselves that they were just going to keep going there.
Right. So one tragedy of Chris McCandless passing away has snowballed into multiple tragedies where people have died and people have been lost and stranded. And of course, it's taken resources away from the state of Alaska. So finally, the governor of Alaska said, we're just going to shut it down. Bring that bus out of here.
Wow. So how many people were injured or died?
Two people have died. Two people have known to die. And the article that I'm reading from today's Washington Post says countless. Now, who knows how many that is?
What? So what makes a person want to do that?
Well, I get that.
Aren't you a psychologist for me?
Well, you know, there's something still in this world. There are a few places in this world that are left that are truly, truly wild, that are left undisturbed, and Americans have quick access to. I mean, Kath, you could get on a plane today, probably even in the midst of the pandemic, and fly to Anchorage and then take off into the wilds, right? I mean, it's just a mindset of people who want to push the envelope and know what it would be like to be isolated.
I don't know if I get it, but from a distance, understand the idea of pushing the envelope. But the fascination with the bus is weird to me.
Well, to be honest, now I've seen the movie, and the movie is a bit of a heartbreak. It really is.
I bet it is, yeah.
Now, I've not read the book, but you feel like you know. I mean, obviously, you know.
So you feel like you know him, so that's part of it. Okay.
Right. You do. You feel like you know him, and you feel his pain and his disconnection. Okay. So you imprint yourself, your pain, your disconnection upon someone else. And there's a place to go to experience that and to be in brotherhood with someone. So it's like-minded.
I get that. I read a book a couple summers ago, John, called Dispatches from Pluto. It's a book by Richard Grant, who's an absolutely tremendous travel writer. But he wrote his story about moving from a one bedroom apartment in Manhattan to the Mississippi Delta. And it's just the memoir of he and his girlfriend's just total culture shock, total amazement. The humility that they learned from living there and meeting the people there and meeting the animals there and the wildlife and the terrain and the weather and everything. But it centers around this house that they bought there that they had to kind of fix up, you know, a very old house that they had to take care of, preserve it from animals, the elements and everything. By the time I finished that book, I was dying to go to see that house.
Right.
I get it. So I get it.
Yeah. So that bus, I mean, I'm glad that they did what they did. I'm sure people are outraged.
Well, it's the right thing to do. I'm sure the people who work in rescue are like, you know what? We can either take a helicopter out there and get rid of this bus now, or we're going to end up going up there and rescuing people for the next, 30 years?
50 years, whatever. But you could see people would be upset by that as well, right? As though you've desecrated a holy shrine in some way.
Right. Well, they're not the ones who are risking their lives going to find crazy people who are trying to test their limits.
Right.
Right.
But such as it is, right? That's how we live in today's world, right?
Okay. So have you ever tested your limits? I mean, in a physical sense, have you ever done something like, you know, go to Anchorage? And I mean, I know you're not a backpacker, but have you ever done anything like that?
No, I can't say that I have. I mean, a friend of mine was a climber, and he would scale, you know, and so he would take me out. Well, this was me living in Manhattan, and he would take me out to the country. We'd go, you know, up into Connecticut, or, you know, once we went to Maine, and he was trying to teach me how to scale a sheer cliff. That was the closest I got. That was horrifically painful.
Oh my gosh.
On my part, just misplaced. This guy, my friend, his name is Andy. He had fingers that looked like animal claws. Seriously, they were wild looking. And there was just something about him. He was a small, sinewy guy who could turn sort of, you know, on a dime on a flat surface. I was too big and too awkward and probably just way too weak to do something like that. But I remember bleeding after falling and thinking, what am I doing? I don't need to do this.
Right. You know. Mike could be built like a rock climber. Mike, have you ever gotten involved in that sport or pursuit?
No, but I really, really would love to. I mean, I did the, what's the business down the south side next to the Cheesecake Factory. You can, There's a climbing wall in that business. I forget what it's called, but
like at REI.
Yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's for kids. Like you're like kind of like, you know.
Right.
Well, like, don't denigrate the poor man.
Well, come on. But, I mean,
he's trying to climb, and you're saying no, he's doing a thing for kids. Leave him alone.
I'm just trying to say that's the closest thing I got to climbing.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen too many accidents with my friends that would go down the Moraine State Park.
Yep.
And do that stuff and come back with a broken arm or leg. And I'm
thanks. I mean, one fall, it's all it takes.
Yeah. So, listen,
I used to go to McConnell's Mills relatively regularly to climb. Only because I was shamed into it. I didn't like it a single time.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to go, but it was a group of friends and they're like, no, let's go rappelling. Let's go climbing. Let's do it. It'd be a super day to be outside. And because I had no sense of self, I'd say, okay, great. And then I'd come back and feel like completely paralyzed.
Of course.
Pain and, you know, muscle strain. And I'm just so bad at it.
I'd rather
really
zip line.
Really bad.
I mean, I appreciate people who are like that, right? Those warriors who are out there.
Well, I appreciate it to a point until they get stuck somewhere and then someone else has to risk their life going to find them.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like the whole Everest thing. I got no time for that.
Well, I mean, that's just cool. People are pushing their, you know, the endurance of...
I don't know if that's cool.
I think it is.
I don't know if it is.
I think it's pretty cool.
To challenge yourself?
Ask their spouse and children and parents who love them whether they think it's cool.
Right, maybe so. Anyway.
Makes you bulky.
Yeah.
That's what the three of us want is bulk.
Bulky. I'm just going to have some chips. That makes me bulky as well.
John says he's becoming bulky. I don't know.
101.5 WORDFM Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying play the word Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The White House is emphasizing safety precautions to be taken at President Trump's Saturday night rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. With health officials warning about the coronavirus risk at large gatherings, Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says the Trump campaign is focused on safety. However, McEnany says attendees won't be required to wear masks, and she doesn't intend to wear one. Separately, the Oklahoma Supreme Court has rejected a request to require everyone, including the president, to wear a face mask and maintain social distancing inside the arena to guard against the spread of the coronavirus. On Wall Street today, stocks ending a wobbly day, mixed about worries of coronavirus infections in several states, undercutting an early rally. The Dow lost 208 points. This is SRN News.
Good. That's it. There we go.
That's Sheriff Chris Swanson speaking to protesters on the streets of Flint, Michigan.
Second, that he represents who these cops are from all over the county and around this nation. We go out there to help people, not do that nonsense.
Proof that sometimes the best use of authority is to lay it down.
We want to be with y'all for real. So I took my helmet off to lay the batons down. I want to make this a parade, not a protest.
Maybe an end to police brutality and riots could really happen if we just walk a mile in each other's shoes.
These cops love you. You tell us what you need to do.
Walk with us. Way to go, Sheriff. Stay positive, stay strong, and carry on. And know that at Word FM, we're listening.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Specials. You're going to see some amazing offers. Right now, MyPillow is offering an exclusive radio special. Today, we're offering buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Supima MyPillows, MyPillow Towels, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcase, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift card. Just go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954. Be sure to use promo code WORD. MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with a global coronavirus pandemic. They'll be making face masks for hospitals across the country.
Do you or your business have financial problems? Are you overwhelmed with debt? Then call me, attorney Dennis Spira, at 412-471-7675. My legal practice concentrates on bankruptcy law, debtor rights, and tax matters. I have over 30 years' experience as a former United States Department of Justice bankruptcy attorney and lawyer in private practice. I have represented thousands of cases faced with financial problems and lawsuits. Reorganize and get a fresh start. Call 412-471-7675 or visit my website at DennisSpira.com.
Learning has definitely changed these days. What hasn't changed is the unwavering support parents received from their local Christian school. Many were quick to adapt to the new normal, with remote classes taught by caring teachers who pray for students and their families every day. With many schools offering half-price tuition for first-time enrollees, like Walnut Grove Christian School in West Mifflin, it's a great time to consider Christian education. Find a school that's right for you at wordfm.com/tuitions.
An evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy. Tonight's low 62. Humid tomorrow with partial sun. Watch for a shower or thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon. High 82. Saturday night, partial clouds, low 64. Sunday, partly sunny and humid with a shower or thunderstorm. High 86. And Monday, high 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Growing up, one of the big treats around our house was for my mom to make some Kool-Aid and get those plastic sort of ice cube trays that had the sticks in them, right?
Okay, yeah.
What are they called? Those well. Ice pops?
Yeah, Tupperware sold them.
Yeah.
Those little forms, those molds.
Right. You know, and then you put the Kool-Aid in there, put the thing in, put them in the freezer, and then, you know, a couple hours go by, boom, everyone's having an ice pop. I mean, that was okay. I mean, it's like sort of like for us as kids, it was a good backup.
It's still disappointing, John. Let's be honest. Let's just say it for what it is.
Kind of a little. I mean, how about the little long tube with the, I don't know what that's called.
Oh, listen, Flavo Ice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The long tube thing and blue and, you know, purple and cherry.
It hurts my teeth thinking about it.
Mm, yeah.
Biting Super. Into that.
That's probably 100% pure sugar. Mm-hmm. Sugar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Favorite summer treat, I would say, for me, like, you know, just like in the neighborhood store.
Yeah.
Creamsicle.
What a delicious invention.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-mm. You know, they make creamsicle ice cream now?
I do know that. I have seen that. That's I'm really sure good. That's delicious.
I've had it.
Is it great?
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah.
Of course it is.
How about a fudgesicle?
I love myself a fudgesicle.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I attribute my 60-pound weight gain in pregnancy number one to fudgesicles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really, though?
I crave them. I mean, from the time I stopped being sick, which was like at 20 weeks until the end, I mean, I probably had, I don't know how many I had a day, but,
no kidding.
I gained 60 pounds, so a lot.
So it's a lot, yeah. How about, now this was later on, maybe like in the 80s, Dove bars.
That is a little too much.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
I think it's obviously amazingly good, but it's so much. It's just super, super duper
rich. I love
it.
A dark chocolate Dove bar with a beautiful vanilla ice cream.
It's just so much. And then it's gone so fast. And you think, I don't think I can go with you on the Dove bar.
Okay. All right. How about Gasanyaya, like
love.
The snowball, right? Since your dad was a lad.
My daughter just walked in the door from being with Gus.
What?
She went down.
She went and had a Gasanyaya.
She sure did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder how much a snowball. When we were growing up, like we had a guy who would drive around. I told you about. His name was Connie. And Connie would drive around all the neighborhood. A snow cone, 10 cents.
Oh, my gosh.
10 cents.
Yeah. But it's not 10 cents today.
I wonder what Gus and Yaya. Because when you think about pure profit, I mean, that's like a really great business to be in. I mean, there's ice and some sugar water.
Right.
Your overhead's pretty low.
I agree. A snow cone, that's a good, happy summer memory.
Yeah, with a little wooden stick.
Right. What about the bomb pop?
Oh, I like a bomb pop. I'd be happy to do that.
Listen, I love those things. The red, white, and blue ones.
Yeah, that's good.
I love those.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever, like, so this time of year, when our kids were little, the ice cream guy, you know, you'd hear the little, you know, jingle, and he would come down the street, and first time he showed up, every kid in the neighborhood got something.
Nice.
Every kid for free.
For then free?
After that, yeah.
Even better.
Then after that, you were kind of on your own, you know?
Okay.
But I love the sound of the ice cream truck coming down the street. Mm-hmm. It sort of puts you, you know, like in this joyful mood.
Right.
You knew something good was coming. You stood in line. Everybody waited patiently. What's the Mr. Softy guy, right?
Mr. Softy.
Mr. Softy. You haven't seen Mr. Softy? He's like the soft ice cream cone.
No, I don't know Mr.
Softy. Oh, yeah. He's everywhere. I think it might be a franchise.
Okay.
How about the thing we read a couple of weeks ago about the guy who had an ice cream truck and he painted it black and turned and was playing heavy metal and then little kids were lined up and he would like drive by and like give him a dirty look. I mean, what?
That's all he does.
People.
Listen, that is the funniest, wrong. It's the wrongest story, but it's all traced back to when he was a kid. He was running after the ice cream truck and he was like six and the guy wouldn't stop for him. And so he's carried this resentment. It's been smoldering inside him all this time. And he bought this old ice cream truck and now he's playing metal music and like not serving kids who are waving.
Yeah. Just you want to amplify your resentment into a new generation to kids,
that's his
right?
Revenge at the world.
Yeah, what
that's
the heck?
Very funny.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
wait, what about the ice cream sandwich?
Oh. Don't you love an ice cream sandwich?
Yes.
Man.
I do. But here's what's even better. What do you call the thing that's like an ice cream sandwich, but instead of the like wafer things?
Yeah.
That make the sandwich part, it's chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, that's way too much. You talk about a Dove bar being too much.
Oh,
that's like,
no. Mike, do you know what those are called? Didn't we talk about this one time?
No. What we talked about, the Kennywood thing, which was the sandwich, which was the ice cream and the two waffles, the hot waffles.
Right.
Which they don't have anymore, Kennywood.
No, they don't have that anymore.
That was the last thing I would get as you exit
as
the
you
park.
As you were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the chocolate, back to the chocolate chip cookie, the Chipwich. Is that what it's called? I think it's called a Chipwich.
Really?
Listen, you don't like that. I love that.
That's too much. Chocolate chip cookies and ice cream together. I don't like that.
Oh, it's really good.
But if somebody put it in front of me right now, of course, you know, the dog that I am, I'd be happy to eat it.
Right. Okay. What about the thing? It's like a pre-made, cold, really sticky cone, and it has like the vanilla ice cream and has the chocolate and nuts on top.
Oh, the Nutty Buddy.
Nutty Buddy. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love a Nutty Buddy too. Mm-hmm. And then if you get a good Nutty Buddy, it's got the chocolate syrup in the bottom.
In the bottom. I know.
Like that's the last bite, you get like this
that's
little
really
tiny
good.
Cone.
That's really good. But isn't the texture of the cone a little upsetting?
No. It all depends how quick you eat it. Because if you're like a little kid and it takes you forever, the cone gets all mushy. But
well, it's all
like
cold. It's a weird sticky texture. I think there's something wrong with it.
Boom. I'm not going to waste any time. Okay. Favorite place for ice cream in the city?
Well, I don't eat ice cream.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying Rita's. Rita's to me is hands down. Favorite ice cream experience. You jump in on this. Clavin's.
Clavin's, Penn Avenue and the Strip. Totally right? Fun.
Yeah. But Rita's, fun. Gelato. And, oh, please.
Mm. Okay. Scooter Crunch.
Scooter Crunch? What's a Scooter Crunch?
A Scooter Crunch? It's like it's on a stick and there are two kinds. There's a chocolate and a strawberry. And the chocolate one has like fudge in the middle. If you can picture it on a stick, it has fudge in the middle. It has ice cream around the outside of that. And then on the outside of the ice cream are all these little crunchy, chocolatey little bits.
Oh, I would take that. Okay.
And then the strawberry one has Scooter strawberry Crunch. Inside. With vanilla ice cream, and
that
the outside
good.
Is all like strawberry little bits.
Well, that sounds good.
I'm telling you, they're awesome.
Nice. Okay, how about Dairy Queen, the Dilly Bar or the Buster Bar? You ever had those? I always get these confused. I think the Buster Bar is like this cylinder, and it's got dark chocolate on the outside. And then there's vanilla ice cream with peanuts and hot fudge syrup
there
in the middle.
There we go. That's delicious. That's like a peanut Buster parfait.
Yeah, right.
Similar
Dilly
type
Bar,
of thing.
Buster Bar.
Or a Tin Roof Sundae at Eaton Park.
How about the ultimate for me as a kid, always, was the banana split. I'm going banana split.
I'm not going banana split all the time. You know why?
Not all the time.
Because there's too much going on. I wish we had just the banana and the chocolate. But since we have to do the pineapple and the strawberry, it's just, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Right. How about the frozen banana with chocolate on the outside?
Yes. Listen, I went to the frozen banana stand. Anyone who's watched Arrested Development, there's always money in the banana stand. Anyway, they have one right there on Balboa Island, which mm-hmm. I've eaten at about 100 times. That is a nutritious, low calorie, low fat, delicious summer treat.
That is a very nice. Okay. How about favorite ice cream?
Favorite ice cream.
What's your flavor? You got one choice.
Mint chocolate chip or pralines and cream Baskin Robbins.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. I'm doing White House.
Are you doing White House?
Yes, or butter pecan.
Really? From any particular maker?
No. Mm. Look at me. How picky can I be? Yeah. Look at me. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Mike, favorite kind of ice cream, please.
Red velvet.
Red velvet? What's that?
What?
Red velvet. Sounds like an alcoholic drink.
No, it's not. It's amazing.
Oh, the red velvet.
Red velvet ice cream.
Is it like red velvet cake?
Exactly. Like a red velvet cake. Yeah.
And it has like cream cheese, like a ribbon or something in there?
Yes. It's pretty good.
Well, I've never had that, but that sounds delicious.
Cream cheese and ice cream?
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. You could have like a little cream. If it was like, how do you describe red velvet cake? It's like, it's chocolate actually, but it becomes red because you put food coloring in it.
Right. Anyway, that's the summer treats that we look forward to. I hope COVID-19 doesn't like wipe all that stuff out, right? These poor kids need something to look forward to.
I just went and got Italian ice at the grocery store a couple nights ago.
Oh, did you? Okay, good.
So real quick, John, there's a Mr. Softy app.
Oh, is there?
Softy app? What?
Yeah, you can actually track the ice cream truck down with this app. And not only can you track them down, but you can give them your address and it'll actually drive to your neighborhood.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, that'd be great.
It's free. Can you imagine
waking up one Saturday morning and Mr. Softy's outside your house playing music?
Pretty
ding,
awesome.
Ding, ding, ding. All your neighbors would be like, I'd rather have the fireworks.
Exactly. Bring the fireworks back.
Yeah, Mr. Softy, man. Dig you. I'm getting that app. All right. Okay, all right. Take a break. Listen, come back.
Except I have to tell you something first.
Tell me. Oh, holy
Your weekend
smokes.
Has begun.
Fabulous.
Every last one of you, your weekend has begun.
15 minutes past the 5 o'clock hour. Joe Stein's telling me, frozen milkshake. Basically, a frozen Three Musketeers bar.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Joe Stein.
How delicious would that be, Joe?
All right. Be back in a few minutes. I think so, right? Oh, Marcia here is from the Spring House. Marcia, Father's Day, always an event at the Spring House. This year, COVID-19 notwithstanding, no different, right?
Right, the show must go on, right?
Yes.
So we'll have. Hi, guys. How are you today?
Well, and we all want to celebrate our dads and husbands and all the people we know who are doing such a terrific job raising kids. So, Marcia, what kinds of things could someone come to get for dad at the Spring House this weekend?
Sure. So on Sunday we're having our Father's Day steak fry and chicken barbecue, and we've actually brought in a tent and extra tables and chairs so people can sit outside and. They can spread out in here and, like I said, sit outside the tent and then the picnic patch. Then we're going to have New York strip steak. They can choose New York strip steak or marinated flank steak. We'll have both of those. Ooh. And then we'll have a barbecue chicken quarters and all kinds of yummy sides to go with that, all kinds of homemade mashed potatoes and green beans and ham and corn pudding and baked beans, cabbage and noodles, all kinds of good stuff. And then we'll have good desserts and we'll have salads packaged up for them. So everything will be, quick and easy, and we'll still be being social but distancing at the same time. So very it should nice. Be a fun day. Oh, and free cone for all dads, and we'll have music from when we open at noon all the way till 7 o'clock, live music. Really?
Free so cones for all dads.
Yeah, how about that, John?
Fabulous. That's worth a drive to the Spring House.
They won't have that weird texture of the what'd you call that? Nutty Buddy.
Oh, the Nutty Buddy.
It's going to be a real cone this time.
Marcia, do people need reservations? They just stop by.
Nope, just come on down. Might be a little line, but we move it pretty fast, and should be a really fun day.
Outstanding. Thanks, Marcia. Happy Father's Day from the Spring House. Get on down there and enjoy the Sunday. Take a quick break. Come back. Oh, we got much more ahead. Stick around. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy.
101.5 WORD.
The station with Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music every weekend.
With the best new music.
New music.
New music from Francesca Battistelli. This could change everything.
This could change everything.
Over and Over by Riley Clement. Glorify by Jordan Feliz.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Brought to you by Trinity Jewelers and Dennis Spira and Associates.
101.5 WORD.
On the weekend.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
Planning a vacation can be a lot of fun, but preparing for retirement, not so much. It's confusing. That's where Kevin Bach can help, showing you how to generate retirement income, how to choose a good Social Security claiming strategy, and how to help minimize your tax obligations. Call Kevin at 724-837-3553. Kevin Bach is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. Insurance and annuities offered through Kevin Bach, PA Insurance License Number 352896.
Finding the right type of care for your loved one can be a highly emotional decision. Moving your loved one to a nursing home, rehab center, or independent care may not be necessary. XL Home Care can provide a warm, family-like environment with an XL caregiver, or you may even qualify to get paid to take care of the ones you love. To learn more, call 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. XL Home Care, a help-at-home company.
There's been a lot of conversation in the media the last couple of days about the approaching of today, which is Juneteenth. And you might have asked yourself, what the heck is Juneteenth? What does all this mean? Well, Pastor Brian James Edmonds is with us. Pastor has been with us last week to talk about the George Floyd. Yeah, Pastor Edmonds is the senior pastor of Macedonia Church of Pittsburgh and with us once again. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Good. Real good. Thanks for being with us today.
We're excited to have you back, Brian. We appreciate that. And I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here to talk about Juneteenth. I have to confess that it wasn't until probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago that I ever even heard that word. My friend Eddie Jones told me about it. And I, now that I know what it is, I just have to say it's embarrassing that I had never heard of it. I'm sorry that I missed out on something that was so important to so many Americans and to you. So can you talk about Juneteenth and what it means to you?
For sure. I mean, I think, you know, partly of what you share is just some of the holes in our educational system that really do highlight some of the systemic injustice we've been talking about, is that some stories are told and some stories are not told. And so Juneteenth is a holiday that many African Americans celebrate that recognizes that that in 1865 in Texas, there were some who were still slaves who finally got word that there had been an Emancipation Proclamation. So in 1863, most of us know in history books that Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, and that's what we kind of celebrate. But many did not receive that word, and so were still not notified of their freedom until 1865. And that was actually June 19th, I believe, in Galveston, Texas, when those arrived that shared, you must release those who were seceded from the Union, you must release your slaves now because of this Emancipation Proclamation.
It's an amazing story. I mean, when you think about where we are right now, of course, we're a click away from way too much information. So it took 2 years to finally, across the country, to have all slaves receive the news of freedom. I can't imagine what that would have been like for those people held 2 years. They were thinking, I was free 2 years ago, and now I'm just getting the word.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think, again, it's very interesting when we think about our country and our world and the way that information is suppressed. to keep certain folks in power and to keep certain folks in difficult compromise situations. And so I think that still happens today in many cases. But for sure, to hear it, you know, 2 years later would have been frustrating, to say the very least. But I do see, you know, even still, you know, an analogy to our Christian faith that for many of us, we don't realize the fullness of the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins and therefore set us free. And so it really is, we are proclaiming emancipation to many brothers and sisters who don't realize it yet. So I see that analogy, but it still, you know, comes from a very hard truth in our country.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian, I appreciate that. You know, as I was reading about Juneteenth yesterday, today, I was thinking about the passage in Exodus where God's talking to Moses and he says, tell the people, I have seen their suffering. And, I think of all the passages, and there are countless passages that are beautiful in the scriptures that are encouraging and that tell us about God's character. But I wonder if there are any passages that tell us more about who he is than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a powerful passage of scripture, and it connects very clearly to what we see about Jesus in John chapter 1. In John 1 and 14, the scriptures say that Jesus Christ, he became flesh, or the word became flesh and dwelled amongst us. And that word, dwelled amongst us, is tabernacle, similarly to what Moses was able to construct in the wilderness. It was the tabernacle. It was God's presence with us. And so this whole idea that God is coming to set us free is a reminder that he dwells with us. And so even for me as an African-American in a world that's filled with systemic injustice, I still have faith that God is dwelling with me in the middle of the pain, that he's not forgotten about me.
I'm into that. Pastor, it's been a whirlwind of a couple of weeks, hasn't it? I mean, things that were sort of verboten or fearful in conversations with people, I believe those walls are falling down. Mm-hmm. What about you? You know, in these intervening 2 weeks, have people reached out to you? Have you connected with people and had conversations that might have felt awkward or dangerous?
Oh, indeed. I mean, there are plenty of conversations that are happening. On last Sunday, we switched up our worship encounter and we invited some different folks to be on the stage in a panel discussion, as many churches are doing. And I pray that it's also happening in some larger white churches as well. But invited a friend of mine, Pastor Jason Howard of Amplified Church, and another white member of our own church, along with some other leaders of other churches, to really have some difficult discussions, some open and honest discussions to model for our churches that this is part of the way forward. It doesn't end with conversations, but that's a great place to start, is to have some difficult, eye-opening convos where you speak so that others will listen, and you listen so that others will speak.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. That's the voice of Pastor Brian James Edmonds, Senior Pastor, Macedonia Church of Pittsburgh. Brian, can you talk about Pittsburgh? You're not from Pittsburgh, are you?
No. I'm born and raised in Baltimore. I've been in Pittsburgh for 13 years ago now.
Okay. All right. So it's your adopted home. Can you talk about the city, you know, what you've seen since you moved here, but then also what you've seen in the last 4 or 5 weeks since the death of George Floyd? How do you feel like Pittsburgh is moving along the road to justice?
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh is making some steps, albeit slow in some cases. One of the things that really kind of speaks to me about Pittsburgh is I remember a few years ago, we had a police chief in Pittsburgh that Mayor Peduto had brought in, and this police chief was progressive, and at one point he was seen near some protesters. I think this may have been around another death of a black man, unarmed black man, and he had a sign that said Black Lives Matter. And shortly after that, that police chief was no longer in Pittsburgh. And it was clear that he had lost some of the faith of those who were in his ranks. And so that was a difficult piece for me to see as an African-American, that somebody who is here seeming to, you know, wanting to fight for the cause of justice is then automatically seen as an enemy to the system of police and unions that are here. And so that's difficult. But let me shift to the good side. I was riding toward a neighborhood close to mine today that I know is predominantly white. And I saw in the lawn a sign of one of the neighbors there that said Black Lives Matter. And I know the neighbor that lives there is white. And that was something that got me excited. It made me feel, made me feel to some degree comfortable to live in proximity to that. But I also recognize that was a moment of bravery on their part. And I don't know what their faith may have been, but they were willing to say, hey, I want to declare this. And the sign actually had one of, the bridges of Pittsburgh, and it said stand together. So it was clearly a Pittsburgh focused sign that had that logo Black Lives Matter on it. And so those are kind of two parts, I think, of Pittsburgh that, there's this one part that is very comfortable staying in, systemic oppression. But then there's another contingent that is becoming more visible that says, yes, we are actually willing to say Black Lives Matter, and we understand what that means.
Right. Of course, Pastor, I'm sure you know this across the country. There's been a backlash to Black Lives Matter, right, for any number of reasons and personalities, whether, as you're saying, it is racism, long-held beliefs, anger, resentment, all that thing. So, like you said, this is going to be a long, long road. But my prayer is this, is that as we talk about this now, we continue to keep this on the front burner, that it doesn't fade away, that we all feel good. Hey, we had that conversation, and that was good, and I talked and he talked, and I'm going to move on with my life. I mean, we've got to keep this thing moving forward, and it's got to be done with intentionality and energy.
Indeed, indeed. It requires really the endurance. James says very clearly, to count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And it's that kind of perseverance that's being developed right now as all of our faith is being tested. White, Black, Brown, Asian, wherever you're from, if you trust in Jesus Christ now, your faith is being tested to see, hey, do I not only, believe in a Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins, but for all sins, and that we're equal because that's how he made us, in the image of God. And so those are some difficult pieces that we've got to wrestle with, but it's going to require endurance, John. It's going to require endurance, Kathy, to continue to keep this at the forefront.
Yeah, no, I know you're right about that. Brian, before you leave us, John and I talk a lot on our show about trying to, wrestle ourselves away from what the culture is telling us that we have to be, red or blue. We have to be Republican or Democrat. We have to see everything through the lens of politics. And instead, we're trying to encourage each other that we have to see things through the lens of the gospel. And our allegiance has to be to Jesus first, not party first. I think you probably feel the same way. But talk to our listeners about that. Talk about how you see that the powers that war against us and won our souls.
Definitely, definitely. It's extremely difficult, I think, to disassociate how we understand our faith in this culture, because really, conservative evangelical Christianity has been inextricably linked with the Republican Party. And so you've got to then begin to read different voices and listen to different voices that help to challenge that notion. And I think, honestly, to read scripture in light of that. So when you hear me reading scripture in light of my experience and in light of my history alongside of the understanding of the Greek and Hebrew, you then begin to say, wow, maybe, John Calvin or Martin Luther or, some other, more modern commentators are not the only ones that can help to interpret the lens that we see God through.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. So, that's the thing I had not thought about until the last year or so, just how much of my orientation in life and the things that I've learned, theologically speaking, over the years, Brian, were taught only by white people to me.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed, indeed. And that, you know, that was really a big decision factor in even when I was going to seminary. You know, I had a number of different options and there were different folks who were pushing me in different directions. But I really wanted to be able to study under people, one, that some that looked like me, but also some that were women, some that were white, some that were black, some that were Asian, whatever it might have been, that I might be able to gather a more complete understanding of who God is in different people's perspectives.
Right. Now refresh my memory, Brian. You went to Duke, right?
Yes, I did. I went to Duke for seminary. I studied at University of Virginia for my undergrad in engineering. God shifted me, and so then I was in a ministry path.
Okay, so Brian, you feel like that was the right choice for you, being able to study under multiple viewpoints, multiple people who have, you know, different skin color, different gender, you name it?
I did, but I also recognized I had to be firmly rooted in the word and my theology and my faith. And so I had served, you know, with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ while I was in college, and I then did an internship with them for primarily, you know, through with African-American students at University of Virginia. And so I had spent significant time being rooted in the fundamentals of my faith before then I was exposed to some of these different viewpoints. And so I think it really is important that we have a strong understanding of our faith, of our theology, you know, and some of those points before we're exposed to certain things that may be able to pull us off track. And so I recognize that even now, a school like Duke has a way more, in many people's minds, a way more liberal leaning. And for sure, I get it. But I also recognize that some of those understandings that I got there helped to firm up what I already believed about the gospel and who God is.
That's fabulous. Yeah. Well, Pastor, this Brian. Tiny baby step of a conversation, we are grateful for once again. So thank you. Let's come back and we'll do it again. All right.
Indeed. Indeed. Thank you all for your time.
Our pleasure. Thank you for your time. Pastor Brian James Edmonds, Macedonian Church, right here in the city of Pittsburgh. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll take a look at our weekly Week in Review. That's next. Stick around.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters and downspouts, siding, and of course, windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit windowsorustpittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
As Christians, we're called to take the gospel to others, and medicine gives the opportunity to provide both physical and spiritual health. This is Dr. David Stevens of the Christian Medical Association. If you're a doctor, dentist, nurse, medical student, or other healthcare professional who's interested in using your skills to share the good news in this country or around the world, check us out at cmda.org.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app, at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
An evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy. Tonight's low 62. Humid tomorrow with partial sun. Watch for a shower or thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon. High 82. Saturday night, partial clouds, low 64. Sunday, partly sunny and humid with a shower or thunderstorm, high 86. And Monday, high 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Well, fear not, meat lovers. The Bacon McDouble is returning to McDonald's in July.
Bacon McDouble.
So are vanilla ice cream cones, chocolate chip cookies, hot tea. Meanwhile, the return of the McDonald's salad is months away.
Oh.
Yes. It looks as though McDonald's and other restaurant chains are changing their menus as the country reopens. And the good news is, if you like to chow, that's in the forecast. If you're more of a salad person, it's not going to happen at your fast food place.
So because there's COVID-19, people don't want salads?
That's what it looks like, right? The chain, the burger chain Red Robin, which I've never been to. Got rid of 55 items to streamline operations during the pandemic. I mean, because everybody wants to streamline operations during the pandemic.
I mean, I should do that myself this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Wendy's briefly trimmed its menu down in May when a supply chain hitch created a beef shortage. Restaurants add menu items to broad offerings to bring in new customers. Think about the Popeye's chicken sandwich. So everyone's mixing things up. They've had some free time to, you know, figure stuff out. I don't know. When's the last time you were at McDonald's, Kath?
Maybe 2 years. But
fries?
Last time I was there, I had like some kind of Southwestern salad thing. And it was very good.
Were you traveling or was this something you...
No, I was on my way to work.
Really?
And you thought, I need to stop in there. I was going down McKnight Road and I thought, I don't know what the deal was. I thought I need to stop and get a salad. And I did.
How was it? It was good. Someone told me that they put sugar in salad.
They probably put sugar in the dressing.
Yeah, right. How about the...
When I make salad dressing, I also put sugar in it.
Oh, do you? You have to sort of...
Yeah, because it just to balance... It's personal preference.
I don't know. I mean, you know, fast food, everybody knows how unhealthy it is, but a lot of people eat it regardless, right?
Right.
So... Industry watchers are watching McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King reconfigure sort of like the decks on the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. It's all the same stuff.
I haven't gone through a drive-thru, not one, in all of this era.
What?
The whole COVID-19 era. Oh, I haven't.
I've been to Chick-fil-A several times.
Have you?
And had a salad there, the Chick-fil-A Southwest salad.
That, you're all excited about the Southwest salad.
That's very, very good, Kath. Okay, I'd recommend that.
I like the, what's it called? Market salad there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Right.
I think it's very good. Mike, have you been doing the drive-thru all the time?
I went to the drive-thru a couple days ago, actually, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A drive-thru.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been to a McDonald's, though, in probably 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's because you can't squeeze it in with all the trips you guys are making to Taco Bell.
Right.
Definitely.
Listen,
so many hours in a day, friends.
Yeah.
If the people who ran the Chick-fil-A drive-thru experience ran the country, we'd be in tip-top shape, man. Those people are geniuses, aren't they?
They are all over it. They are incredible people. I've heard nothing but like laudatory comments about
them. I've lived it. I love it very much so.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Week in Review. Both John and I look back at the last 7 days. So stay close. Friday edition, right home.
WORD. Had your family ever faced hunger at a level where their life was at risk or had little or no access to clean drinking water? For children in the countries of Malawi, Zambia, and Uganda, it's a battle they face every single day.
Word FM and Cross International is asking for your help to provide life-saving resources for children in these African countries to solve this crisis and assist with COVID-19 efforts. A $62 one-time gift provides food, water, COVID-19 assistance, and a Bible. You can get involved right now by calling 866-806-2977 or look for the Cross International banner at wordfm.com.
Do you have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back? Take the 5-question gut check to see if it could be more than occasional constipation. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess is not a laxative. It works differently. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements.
Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor about whether Linzess is right for you. Go to Linzess.com to take the 5-question gut check. That's Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Are you the type of person that values hand-built quality? Do you shop with local businesses because you know your purchase supports your neighbors? Or maybe you research before making a purchase because you know better than to trust the marketing hype? If any of this sounds familiar, you just might be an Original Mattress Factory customer. At OMF, we value our amazing customers and work hard to exceed their expectations every day. Visit an OMF store near you or originalmattress.com to learn more.
I find that patients just want to be heard.
Stock Family Dentistry, where exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care.
That takes time to sit down and listen to what the patient has to say. Listen to their past experiences, because that's all important in how I then present treatment to them, formulate a treatment plan for them, and how we move forward with their treatment at our office.
My mommy is a really good dentist, and she'll take good care of you.
Harry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is the central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, a film about Corrie ten Boom and her family's heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II, and about her secret army of teenagers. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at SalemNow.com and save 20% with promo code Pittsburgh. Return to the Hiding Place at SalemNow.com, promo code Pittsburgh.
It's been another week. That means it's time for John and Kathy's Week in Review. What was everyone talking about this week?
Well, I think we've talked about this for the last month or so. Everyone's talking about, you know, racial protests, George Floyd, and the mix of COVID-19. It feels as though, you know, what your perspective is, the sky is falling. That's what people are talking about, at least from my perspective.
I think people were also talking about Juneteenth. This is the first time I have heard that word discussed in a major way ever
in the newspaper
there's something about it in pretty much every major news source today. I mean, that is a pretty amazing change in the last 6 weeks.
I agree. That's what they're
I'm not saying about. It fixes everything. I'm not saying it fixes anything, but I am saying that it's, I think that is what everybody's talking about.
Well, the conversation's underway.
That's right. Next,
what was a conversation that made you think?
Conversation with a guy, Dr. Joshua Kinlaw, who talked about being a Protestant in Rome. And, you know, I thought about that a lot, because what is it like to be a stranger in a strange land, to see something that you want but is different than, you know, what you need? And I think that's how it struck me, that conversation, right? We live in these upside down world, and I mean, you see the nature of the evil that surrounds us in this world. It is what it is to be alive. And then, you know, Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, you know the beauty and glory of Christ, and the two don't mesh together. So we are really strangers in a strange world. Certainly Rome is beautiful, but it's also a weird, oblique place as well. And it's just, you know, the foundation of moving forward through life. So I thought about that conversation a lot over the last couple of days. Kat? Yeah,
that was a really good one. The conversation that made me think, I mean, there were a whole bunch this week, but I'd say our conversation with Dr. Charlie Camosi from Fordham University. We talked to him on Tuesday at 5:10, if you want to go back and check the podcast. But Charlie's completely pro-life. That's how I would say it. He is pro-life in every possible way, or at least that's what he's striving for. I admire him so much for that and just really appreciate his presence on our show. But he just talked about looking back at COVID-19 and the mistakes we made, especially when it comes to how we talked about and cared for the elderly in America. And it proves that a lot of us who say we're pro-life really aren't, because that wasn't nearly as upsetting to us as it should have been. So it was a real challenge to me. I very much appreciated it. And again, if you want to go back and take a listen to it, it's on Tuesday's show. All right, Mike.
What did you eat?
My wife has been cooking for an elderly man, and this
Wait, you mean you? No. I just didn't know.
I mean, listen, I left the door wide open on that.
The way he talks, it's like he's, you know, 98 himself. He did.
My wife has been cooking for an elderly man other than myself. And this past week she made, which she's not made forever and ever, tuna noodle casserole.
Oh, boy.
I mean... Usually I think of it as a summer or a winter meal. Mm-hmm. It was really good. And I had leftovers of tuna noodle casserole all week long. I loved it. That's what I've been eating.
Wow. Okay. Yeah? Well, we're both eating peasant food, right? I made breakfast pasta for dinner last night.
What? What's that?
Yeah. Breakfast pasta is you make your pasta, you boil it as you normally would. But then while you're doing that, you're heating up a skillet, right? And so as soon as your pasta is done, you drain it and then you put it in a skillet. And then you pour eggs over the top, raw eggs.
That's cool.
So, you know, however many you do. I did a dozen eggs for my family, pour it over the top, and you just toss the pasta. And so the eggs start to cook in the pasta. You take it off of the stove when it's cooked. You put it in a bowl. You put Parmesan cheese and fresh dill on there. And
sounds good to me. Sounds really good.
Super delish. Anyway, fabulous. That was dinner last night.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Mike.
What did you watch?
I watched this documentary this week called Shepherd and Dark. And it's the story about Sam Shepherd, who's one of the preeminent playwrights of the 20th century, who I loved, and a good friend of his, a guy named Johnny Dark. And so Sam Shepherd, you know, has written all these plays. He's a big Hollywood actor, but he stayed in touch with this guy, Johnny Dark, through letters for 50 years. Postcards, letters, back and forth. And Johnny Dark's like a guy who literally works in a deli in a grocery store. And he's getting to be an older guy. And he says to Sam Shepard, come visit me again. Let's get together. And he shows Sam Shepard these letters. And literally, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of letters that this Johnny Dark has kept from Sam Shepard.
What?
And Sam Shepard's like, Johnny, I mean, I wrote back, we wrote back, but I didn't save any of your letters. So Sam said, hey, I know you're getting old and, you know, your money's kind of tight because you've been working in a deli. Why don't I sell these? Someone would buy these. So it's a story of these guys going through the sale process. Someone, an archivist at a university, bought Sam Shepard's letters for $1 million, $1 million bucks.
What?
And Sam Shepard's like, have a good life. You're retired. It's a really fascinating story told in a really beautiful way.
Wow.
Two disparate personalities that come together for a common cause. I love it.
Okay. Wow, Shepherd and Dark. That's interesting. All right. I started to watch 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I'd never seen it before. Here's the thing. So I think I'm maybe 6-7 episodes in. I thought the first episode was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then after that,
Really?
I mean, it's funny. It's not. I mean, yeah, it's a little funny. So I'm wondering if it's going to get funnier.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. I love
so
it.
So I should stick with it?
Oh, please do. Yeah. Because it's just a little bite. It's like 26 minutes.
Yeah. 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 All right. Okay. Mike.
What hacked you off?
The only thing that didn't hack me off was breathing. Seriously, there's so much that's crazy in this world. However, at the top of my list, and I've tried to ignore it, Major League Baseball.
Mm.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay? They can't play baseball because what? They're so dang greedy.
I can't
together,
stand
guys.
It.
Bunch of millionaires.
I absolutely can't stand it. Well, what hacked me off was more personal. I've had an event set up at a Pittsburgh City Park, a pavilion. In Riverview Park. And I just got some random email a couple days ago saying that my event was canceled. Now, let me just say that I made the reservation for this pavilion a year ago. And I get a random email saying, sorry, you know, due to COVID, we decided to close your shelter And I think, why does that? I thought we were in green. I thought we were outside. But here's the worst thing, John. I was so hacked off about that. But I have called the Pittsburgh Parks Department 9 times in the last 2 days, and I have yet to receive a phone call back.
Wow.
Are they open? That's what hacked me right off.
Yeah. Come on, Mayor Peduto. Get to work, my man.
Anyway, we'll see if the mayor can come through. I did call the mayor's office before the show today. Okay, so Mike, next.
What was the best news you heard this week?
Okay, I'll tell you the best news I heard this week. It was revealed that a cheap and widely available drug, John, can provide life-saving treatment for patients who are seriously ill with the coronavirus. Dexamethasone has been used since the 60s to treat conditions including asthma. It was found to cut the risk of death by around a third for COVID-19 patients.
Fabulous. That's really good news. Okay, what made me happy? I'm making it personal. My van's back. I've been without a vehicle for more than a month. I've got air conditioning now, and I got wheels. That's good.
Okay, terrific. Last, Mike.
And in closing, you two have anything meaningful for us?
Well, we've been reading scripture every day. And Kathy, a couple of days ago, you assigned us as a reading Romans 12, 9 through 21. And I read that several times throughout the day. And I had to go back and start to reread again the book of Romans.
There's so much in there.
Oh, my gosh.
It is absolutely packed.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing. That's a great. And please go and read Romans again. Okay. Of course, it's so beautiful and timely.
That's terrific. I read Austin Channing Brown's book, I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. And I want to encourage anyone who's listening who wants to be challenged to read that book by Austin Channing Brown. You're going to get mad. You're going to think, really? And you should push through. Every time you're offended, you should keep on reading and get to the end of that book and see if you changed. That's it.
And that's John and Kathy's Week in Review.
At the Original Mattress Factory, we know better than anyone that the mattress industry is full of myths. Mattress companies spread misinformation to mislead customers about their features and prices. One of those myths is that two-sided mattresses are old-fashioned. Today's mattresses don't need to be flipped and rotated, they say. But today's one-sided mattresses just aren't as durable. That's why OMF still hand-builds two-sided mattresses, because it's what's best for our customers. Visit originalmattress.com to learn more.
Whether looking for a restaurant for dinner reservations or shopping for a major purchase, online reviews are a big part of the research consumers consider before making a decision. Unfortunately, many mattress review sites are paid by mattress companies to recommend their products, which makes it hard to trust the reviews. At the Original Mattress Factory, we do things differently. We value transparency and honesty, and we don't pay for reviews or mislead our customers. Read reviews from our actual customers at originalmattress.com.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
You've worked hard to provide for your family, but what happens when you're no longer here? You know, when people plan for retirement, they sometimes forget to consider their financial legacy. Your assets should go where you want them to go, not where some probate court decides. So why not be proactive? Kevin Bach can show you how to pass your assets along to your loved ones in the most tax-efficient way possible. Call Kevin at 724-837-3553 or online at IntegrityRetirementSolutions.com.
Insurance and annuities offered through Kevin Bach, PA Insurance License Number 352896.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, they do too. So whether you stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store, a Napa Auto Care Center, or visit Napa online, you can count on Napa know-how.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns, and that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
News today, Ian Holm, the classically trained Shakespearean actor best known to film audiences. I mean, the first thing I think is he played Bilbo in Lord of the Rings. You mentioned Chariots of Fire when we were talking before the show, John.
Yep.
Anyway, he passed away at the age of 88.
I mean, when you think about, you know, a lot of guys I know talk about the actor's life. Ian Holm is the epitome of the actor's life. After high school, he went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, which was sort of a hotbed of young talent working together for years. From there, he graduated to the Royal Shakespeare Company, where he stayed also for several years. And from there, his prowess took him to the West End of London, which is essentially Broadway in London. And then from there, he continued to work. He came to Hollywood, had a major career, was on Broadway several times. Just one of these guys who, you know, for a lot of people, they would look at that face, Ian Holm, people kind of go, oh, that guy.
Right.
He was one of the great character actors and made his way into leading roles as well. So you think Chariots of Fire, or you think Alien, or you think Bilbo and Baggett. I mean, just an incredible career.
Now, I didn't remember him in Alien.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the crew members, you know, was sitting around the table where the animal, he's there.
Is he there?
And he was a young man. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say he must have been a young man, because that was what, in 1980?
That's early 80s, maybe.
Two, three, something.
Yeah, that's
like that?
What I was thinking, somewhere around there.
Mike, have you seen Alien? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. It's been a while.
It was 1979.
79.
Really?
Okay.
Jeez.
I mean, he did everything. He played the classics. I mean, he played King Lear. He played the Iceman Cometh. You know, he was Hamlet. He played Puck. So he was deeply incredibly talented guy. And he describes it as an idyllic life. So the Ian Holm passing. What a great life. Yeah. Mm.
Thanks for being with us, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.